There is a medrash in Rus where the medrash says the following: Amar Reb Yitzchak bad Marion, va'akasav lelamedcha shem yir adam osa mitzvah. If a person is performing a mitzvah, ya'asena b'leiv shalem, a person should be careful to do it with graciousness. A person should be careful to do it with in a great enthusiasm. B'leiv shalem. She'ilu ha'yodeya Ruvain shakadosh baruch hu. If Ruvain would have known that God Himself was going to write about him in the Torah Akdosha, Vayishma Ruvain vayatzileu miyadam, that Ruvain was the one who initiated the process of saving his brother Yosef from being killed. So had Ruvain known that that would have been written about him, b'kseifa hayomalichu alaviv, he would have taken him back, brought him on his shoulders, and brought him back to his father Yaakov Avinu. V'ilu hayyodeya Aaron, if only Aaron HaKohen would have known in our parsha that the Torah would write about him, v'hine hu yotze lekrasecha v'racha v'samach b'liwa, had Aaron known that the Torah would have written, immortalized for him forever, that he was the one who came out to greet Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the one who was samach b'liba, who was happy and proud over the appointment of his brother Moshe Rabbeinu to be the leader. Had Aaron known that, betupim uvim mecholos hayotze lekroso, he would have gone out with a tremendous ceremony. He would have had a whole procession, a parade coming to greet Moshe Rabbeinu. But because he didn't know that the Torah was going to give such accolades about him, such praise, therefore Aaron toned it down a little bit. Had he known, he would have gone much further than he did. V'ilohai yodea Boaz, if only in the story of Ruth, if Boaz knew, Shakadosh Baruch Hu, that God would have written about him that he provided Ruth with some food in his field. It says, Agalos Petumas Hayam Achila, he would have gone out with all the fancy steaks and all the everything he would have given her to eat had he known that the Torah was going to say such wonderful praise about him. We have in Parshas Vayakel, the Torah writes as well, when the construction of the Mishkan is taking place, so it says, Vayas Betzalel es ha'aron atzei shitim, it says that Betzalel goes out of his way to construct the Aron. Amasayim v'chetzi arko, ama v'chetzi rachba, v'ama v'chetzi kamaso. Says Rashi there, Dilafisha nasan Betzalel nafsho el ha'malacha, because Betzalel committed himself to building the Mishkan. He devoted much more of his time, of his energy. He was faithful to the job. Because of that, more so than all the others. Obviously, there were others who were involved in building the Mishkan. Betzalel didn't do this on his own. But because he gave so much of his time and his dedication to it, he exerted more energy. Therefore, Rashi says, Nikras al Shemo. Therefore, it goes down in history as Betzalel is the one who made the Aron. Betzalel is the one who constructed the Mishkan. And we don't hear about anybody else because the Torah wants to highlight to us what happens when a person gives of their attention, gives of their dedication to a job that needs to be done. And that's what the Medrash writes there by Betzalel as well. V'chi Betzalel asa la'atzmo, shebechol davar v'davar hu omer v'yas Betzalel. Why does it say, by every one of the kelim, Betzalel made Betzalel? Do you think he was the only one? They gathered together all the greatest craftsmen, all the people who knew how to do the job. Why does it keep saying that Betzalel is the one who did it? Says the Medrash, el al shanasa nafsho ela biyoser, because he devoted himself, he was committed to the project. And therefore, lo kipech HaKadosh Baruch Hu scharu, God didn't hold back from the schar that was deserving of him. Upirsama HaKasav HaKal Dabar V'Dabar, therefore the Torah goes out of its way to say, this is in the schus and the merit of Betzalel, because he went so far out of his way for us, we go out of our way to say this story about him. And not only, what?
He selected to be.
Right.
So it wasn't that the effort came, it wasn't that he was recognized because of the effort, he was recognized before the effort even began.
No, but then as the construction is going on, it says, Betzalel made, Betzalel made. What about Betzalel? What about everybody else? Everyone else should get credit as well. So the Torah says, no, because Betzalel was the one who dedicated himself more so than anybody else. Therefore, we are mefarsin that. We publicize that. We want everyone to know about the good deed that Betzalel did. The Gemara says in Baba Basra, following this Medrash, and following that Medrash as well by Rus, where the Medrash says that had Aaron known that it was going to be mefursam about him, that it was going to be publicized, he would have gone way out of his way. So the Gemara has in Baba Basra a very fascinating story. A story about Yossi ben Yoezer. Yossi ben Yoezer was one of the great Tanoim. So it says that Yossi ben Yoezer had one son who was lo nohi kishur, who wasn't following the path of the way his father wanted him to live life. Again, it doesn't say that he wasn't religious, doesn't say he wasn't shomer Torah mitzvahs. Maybe he wasn't a Tana like his father, like the way my father likes to say when he reads the Gemara. It's not so easy to be a Yossi ben Yoezer. So the father sees his kid, he says, this is not exactly what I expected from him. Well, what do you mean? Not everybody can be a Tana. So Yosef ben Yoezer was very upset, and therefore he decided that he had a big pot of gold at the end of his life. He decided he's going to give it all to the Beis HaMikdash. He doesn't want it going to this rotten son that he has. That's what the Gemara says. He gives it all to the Beis HaMikdash. As time went on, his son went ahead and got a very nice shidduch. He marries the daughter of the person who was in charge of making some sort of ornament for Yana HaMelech. It was a good shidduch. So the Gemara says that his wife has a baby. So now there's a grandchild born to Yossi ben Yoezer, and the one who just had the baby is discussing with her husband. Her husband decides, look, I should get her something special. After all, she did have a baby. I want to try to fancy her a little bit. So Yossi ben Yoezer's son goes out to buy her a very expensive piece of fish. And he goes and he buys the fish and he comes and he gets it ready in the house and he finds inside the fish a very expensive diamond, a very expensive jewel. So his wife says to him, you know what? I don't want you to keep that jewel. Don't get rich on this. I want you to go and give it to the Gizbar Shel Hekdesh. I want you to go to the Beis HaMikdash. The same way your father gave that pot of gold to the Beis HaMikdash, instead of giving it to you, I want you to go ahead and give this very expensive diamond to the Beis HaMikdash as well. And I want them to be able to purchase the Avnei HaEphod with this money that we're going to dedicate to the Beis HaMikdash. So he goes ahead, Yossi ben Yoezer does that, and they try to figure out how much it's worth. It turns out it's worth 13 piles of gold, more so, way more than the father had dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara talks about whether it was right or wrong what the father did. It seems to be it wasn't the proper thing. Why are you giving to the Beis HaMikdash instead of leaving the Yerusha for your son? But either way, the Gemara says, on this occasion, they were mefarsimit. Amdu v'kasvu, it says, they got up and they wrote in the history books, they got up and they made a big plaque in the Beis HaMikdash that said, this was all dedicated by Yossi ben Yoezer, a little bit, and then his son totally outdid him. He gave such a big contribution to the Beis HaMikdash, and this is something that was broadcast all over in that generation. So it would seem to be an indication that we do have a right to broadcast when somebody gives a dedication, when somebody does a good deed. We have a right to advertise that fact. We have a right to publicize it. And that's why the Gemara says by Yossi ben Yoezer, they hung up a big sign. They told everybody, you should know, the reason why the Beis HaMikdash has money is because of this family. That's why it says in Rashi that Bezalel was singled out, because we want to give him the credit. After all, the credit is deserving to him. And the question is, what about when we want to give tzedakah nowadays? Should we assume that I'm giving a big dedication to the shul, I want them to name this after me, or that after my child, or after my parent, or whatever it might be, do I have a right to make such a demand or not? So this is discussed in the Gemara. The Gemara has a similar case. In Psachim on Daf Ches, in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Dalet, the Gemara tells a story, HaOmer Selazu Litzdaka. Somebody says, I'm separating money, I want it to go for a good cause, I want it to go for charity. However, he says, Bishvil sheyichya bini. I want, look, I have a very, unfortunately, I have a sick child. I want that this tzedakah should be in his chus or fuah shleima for my child. So the Gemara says, Harez et tzadik gamar. You are a tzadik gamar. That's incredible. For you to give money and say, I'm giving this ala tonight that it should be for my son to have a fuah shleima, that's a wonderful act of chesed. That's a great way to give tzedakah. Nothing wrong with that at all. Now, there are one of the achronim writes, Rav Mordechai Banet, I think he was a Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, if I'm not mistaken, or a at the same generation of the Chassam Sofer. So again, he says a pshat, which is probably not the literal meaning of the Gemara, but he says, what do you mean? Tzadik gomer? You can say you fulfilled the mitzvah, but what do you mean tzadik gomer? So Rav Mordechai Banet said, thinks maybe the pshat in the Gemara is, we're talking about a person who doesn't want to embarrass the ani. So an ani comes to you and he says, I need some money. You don't want to say, oh yeah, I feel so bad for you, let me give you the money. You're going to say, you're doing me a favor, my son is so sick, you're going to give him a refuah shleima, but meanwhile you made up the whole story. And you're doing it only that he shouldn't feel bad. So Rav Mordechai Banet says, that's what the Gemara says, tzadik gomer. That's a person who fabricates a whole story in order not to make the ani feel uncomfortable when he comes begging at the door. That's a tzadik gomer. But again, that's not the simple understanding of the Gemara. The Gemara seems on a very basic level to be telling us that when I give tzedakah, I have every right to say, I want it to be l'schus refuah shleima for that, li'ilu nishmas, this one, or whatever it might be, that is not a problem at all, and that's something that we are allowed to do. So Tosis points out on the daf there, what do you mean? Don't we know the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that you should be serving Hashem, shalom amanas l'kabel pras? So this is, you're giving tzedakah only on the condition that your son should have a refuah shleima, so isn't that a violation of what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos? Tosis says, no. That Mishnah in Pirkei Avos just means that I make a condition and I say, if my son doesn't have the refuah shleima, I'm going to be very angry at God for not listening. I did my part, where is he even doing his part? So Tosa says, as long as you're not toa ala rishonas, as long as you don't ask questions, if it doesn't work out the way you want it to, you're not going to ask a question. Again, you can give the tzedakah and say, I want it to be a schus, if the Ribono Shalom is willing to accept that schus. But if it's not going to work, then a person should not ask questions back and try to figure out why he gave his part and God is not giving, so to speak, his part in the deal. So it seems to be a clear indication from this Gemara that you're allowed to do a mitzvah conditionally. You're allowed to give the mitzvah, you're allowed to give the money to tzedakah on the condition, again, not that if the condition is not met, you're going to take it back, but basically you're allowed to say, I'm giving it because somebody is sick, somebody needs a refuah shleima, somebody needs a ili neshama, that would be something that is permissible. And yet, although the Gemara clearly states that this is allowed, we have a Gemara that indicates the opposite. We have a Gemara in Ksubas Daf Samach Vav, where the Gemara says as follows, Maisa Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, a very sad story with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shehayah Rochev ala Chamor, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was riding on his donkey, And he passes through a community, Ra Riva Acha Shahisa Malaketes Saorim Mibain Glale Behemtan Shalarvim. He happens to chance upon a woman who's sitting on the side of the road and picking out the little grains of wheat and barley from the Glali Abahamer, from the garbage dump. So he says to her, Biti, Basmi At, who are you? You seem to have some trouble, you seem to have not enough money to buy even wheat, even barley, you're picking through the garbage. So she says, you'll be surprised, but I'm the daughter of Nachdiman Ben Gurion. Nachdiman Ben Gurion, what do you mean? He's the most prominent wealthy man. He's the man who everybody was relying on for all the tzedakah, for everything. You're the one who's picking through the garbage to find your little wheat and your little barley. So he says, Biti, Mamen Shabesa Vicha Hechan Halach. What happened to all your father's money? He was the wealthy man. He was taking care of everybody. He was supporting all the yeshivas and everything. How could it be? You're picking through the garbage. So she says, my father didn't give tzedakah, and therefore he lost it all. So he says back to her, your father didn't give tzedakah. We all know your father used to give tons of tzedakah. So what do you mean your father didn't give tzedakah? So she says, no. Nakdiman ben Gurion lechvoda huda asa. You're right, my father did give tzedakah, but every time he gave the tzedakah was just for his own aggrandizement. He gave it for his own glorification. He wanted that he should become a famous person and everybody should honor and respect him. Lechvoda huda David. He didn't have the proper intentions in mind at all, and therefore he was punished and he lost it all. Ask the Marsha, what do you mean? The Gemara says over here, if a person gives tzedakah because they want their child to have refuah shleima, that's permissible. So why is that any different if a person gives tzedakah because they want the honor of being the wealthy balabas who everyone's going to look up to and everyone's going to bow down to when they walk down the street? I'm going to be honored at the dinner and I'm going to have all the covet in the world. Why is that any different? So the Marsha answers and he says, well, to give tzedakah on a condition that someone should have good health or that someone should have an ilui neshama, that's okay. But to give tzedakah for your own honor, to give tzedakah for your own prestige, that's off limits. That's something that's considered to be far worse than giving for any other reason. And therefore, the Gemara tells us if a person gives tzedakah only for their own purposes, for their own glorification, in that kind of case, we say that that tzedakah is not accepted and that's not considered a mitzvah at all, and the person will be punished for that. That's what the Marsha argues. Rabbi Chana Wasserman writes, why should that be the case? Why is covet worse than anything else? So he says, because the Chavos HaLevavos writes that if a person is into their own honor, into their own respect, it's like you're being Ovid Avodah Zarah in some way, because you're not believing the fact that the only one who deserves honor and prestige and respect in the world is God Himself. You think, I should be on the same level as Him, or at least one notch below Him, and everybody should honor me instead of honoring Him. So therefore, says Rabbi Chanan, that's why the Gemara assumes that this is considered to be far worse than any other condition a person makes when they give tzedakah. Again, to give tzedakah for a given reason is okay, but to give tzedakah in order for our own honor, that is not permissible. So you trickle it down a little bit further, and one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, the Rashba, was asked the following question. There was somebody who had a beautiful house right next door to a shul. So the Rashba was asked that this person, they were negotiating, they needed more room in the shul, they were trying to figure out how they were going to do it, so the person said, look, I'll give my whole house up for the shul, as long as you put my name on the front door of the shul, everybody should know I was the one who dedicated this, I was the one who gave the money. Nobody else has to contribute, I'll do it all on my own. And the people felt very uncomfortable. Look, it's very nice that he wants to give the money, but we don't want to have to look at his name every time he passed by the shul. We don't want to have to see all the covet that he's getting. They were uncomfortable, so they sent a question to the Rashba. Does the person have a right to demand that his name should be on it, because after all, he's the one who gave all the money to build this shul? So the Rashba responded that he thinks this is absolutely permissible. He said, first of all, this is the practice in all of our communities. Second of all, this has been the practice for time immemorial. Third of all, he says, we have the Medrash that we started with. In our parsha, the Medrash says that Aaron HaKohen, had he known that he was going to be publicized for the great thing that he did, he would have done more. So you see that it works, says the Rashba. You see that if you publicize a great deed that somebody does, it will encourage them or their friends to do it again or to do more of it. And therefore he says that this is absolutely permissible. Lahavdil, Elef Alfei Havdalot, as we know. In some communities, they name soccer tournaments after a terrorist. Why? Because they want to encourage the youth to go in the same footsteps as that person. And they name summer camps after them. Why do they do that? Because, again, it's all about how you package something. If you show that this is who we put on a pedestal and you show that this is what we value, that will encourage others to do the same thing. If you give them honor, then other people will also want to do that. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch paskins that lechatchila, when a person gives tzedakah, obviously you shouldn't do it for your own kavod, for your own honor. However, the Rama adds, in the name of the Rashba, Mikal makam, mishem makdish davar letzedakah. If somebody dedicates something to a cause for tzedakah, mutar lo sheyichtov shmo alav, you're allowed to write your name on it, and therefore says the Rama, roi lasos kein. It's even praiseworthy to do such a thing. Why? Because as we all know, This often encourages others to do it as well. You see that somebody gets covered for what they've done, for the good deed. It will push you in some way to do the same deed. Now the Shaarei Teshuva points out, and with this we'll close, this is only the case if it's something that, let's say the shul is looking, or an organization is looking for something to be dedicated. Anybody could have had that opportunity, and I was the first one, or I was the one who finally gave the money for it, so then I can demand that my name be written on it. But if you have someone's paying shul dues, something that they're obligated to pay, and they say, I'm only giving the money if you put up a plaque for me in the shul. What do you mean? Why should you be allowed to make such a demand? Everybody has to pay that. Everybody has the same obligation, so it's not going to encourage somebody else to pay the dues. Everybody has the same obligation to pay the dues. So therefore, in that kind of case, the Shaarei Teshuva writes, one would certainly not have a right to ask at all for any recognition for what they've done, because after all, this was an obligation you shared with everybody else, and it's not something that you should be highlighted for. Yeah.